Welcome to the Connect the Dots podcast with Jeffrey Klein, part of the Shareable Podcast Network, and sponsored by AIQ, a snackable newsletter of AI news for busy professionals. Jeffrey engages in conversations with a diverse group of successful people, exploring their stories and the dots they connect along the way. The hope is to inspire your journey and find ways for you to connect your own dots. Here's your host, Jeffrey.
My guest today is Daesung Aberdeen. She is Director of Artificial Intelligence and Innovation at KPMG and is an adjunct professor at Temple University. Daesung is a consultant, creator, and mentor specializing in product management, digital transformation, and innovation strategy. With over a decade of experience, she has advised Fortune 100 companies on technology modernization and customer experience, helping organizations accelerate value creation through new products and business models. Her leadership has guided teams in launching products powered by AI, low-code platforms, IoT, and cloud technologies to deliver value and rich experiences to customers while driving business outcomes. An immigrant from the Caribbean, Daesung is a global citizen and modern polymath with a passion for interdisciplinary learning. She is dedicated to democratizing knowledge and promoting inclusion through technology, fostering diverse and high-performing teams with a people-first approach. Daesung holds degrees from the Wharton School and Temple University, along with certificates in agile and project management. In addition to her consulting work, she creates content to inspire innovation and mentors others to integrate their varied interests into meaningful, sustainable careers. Welcome, Daesung.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey. It's great to be here.
I always like to start at the beginning. So we mentioned the Caribbean. So where were you born and what did your parents do for a living?
Yeah, so I grew up in Grenada. A lot, you know, some people may be familiar with it, tiny island in the Southern Caribbean, and lived there for my first 10 years of life. My mother was a nurse. My dad worked in a family business. And so that really has been a foundational aspect of who I am today, of course, being in the U.S. now. But coming here at an age where I still remembered that part of life, the training, the teachings, the cultures, all these things certainly influences where I am today and my perspective on life.
So growing up, when you were a kid still in Grenada, like, can you think of, like, you know, the cliche is that people in America want to be an astronaut or a sports star. Do you, when you're a kid, do you have certain something you say, oh, when I grow up, I want to be an X? Did you have something that you kind of
thought of? So I think I went through a couple of different phases of this. You know, from Caribbean parentage, one of the things that's very common amongst us is education is a big deal, something that's very encouraged in the household. And so I had that influence. And between my grandparents, my parents, I certainly had expectations of, you know, a career that would be stable. You know, I went from nurse to doctor. I thought about lawyer as well. So I definitely went through a number of different phases with things I would be interested in doing. I think one thing that is worth noting, which, you know, kind of ties back and if I should say connect the dots to where I am today, was one of my early interests in art. So I started learning to draw, getting an understanding of perspectives, you know, drawing little houses, things of that sort. So that was one of the things that I discovered for myself early on. But, you know, certainly I went through a number of different things that I wanted to be when I grew up.
Well, and an educator you are. So there you go. One of the things.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're still an artist. So there you go. So you're still living the dream.
Right. Still true to that.
So, okay. So art, and I know that's really important to you in education. What about technology and innovation? So I always wonder if people kind of in the space are like, were they tinkerers taking things apart? Or what was your first exposure to kind of like leading edge technology, you know, things, you know, my parents were earlier, my dad in particular was an early adopter of technology. And so that rubbed off on me with computers before and bulletin board systems, which not even most people know what those are. Where did the spark of kind of tech come from?
Yeah. So, you know, I wouldn't say technology in the crisp definition as we know it today was on my radar back then. But to your point of mentioning tinkering, that was definitely something that I did a lot of as a child. And I'm an only child. So I had to find different ways to entertain myself. And one of the things that I did, I would build little houses out of cardboard boxes. I would build, I would take my grandparents had this little stool that my grandpa had built. I would turn it over and use it as a car and kind of drag it around the house. I saw my grandmother sewing a lot, so I learned from her, and I would do the same thing for my Barbie that started making clothes. So there are a lot of things around the house that I did when it comes to being creative, but making it something, bringing it to life. I definitely didn't have technology on my radar there, but in looking back, that's a lot of where technology and building comes from. It's from, putting pieces together, conceptualizing what it can look like, and making it happen.
Yeah, it's interesting because my wife hasn't is interested in the art. Her mother is a seamstress and an artist and a painter. And
Wow.
she knits and sews and in that kind of creative mode. And I think that's an art that's really beautiful. Just, you have raw materials and then you make something, and it's kind of crazy
Exactly.
to do that. And it requires that kind of design thinking to kind of think through, problem solving. You're like, oh, I want to make this. I have to think through, well, how am I going to do it? And what are the putting the pieces, connecting the dots? I love that you said that. So you end up, tell me about the early part of your career, sort of how you went from your interest in crafts and designing things and art, to like, when did tech come into play?
I'll fast forward. So coming to the US from the Caribbean and growing up and learning, going through the school system, I think it was in high school when maybe around sophomore year when I really started to think, okay, what exactly do I want to be when I grow up and get a little more serious about that. And at the time, the two things that I had the biggest interest in, it was business and it was art. So art, again, continuing that string from early on, I spent a lot of time on art. During those years, did a lot of competition, had my work in different galleries and things of that sort. So there was very much a path there if I wanted to take that. But at the same time, knowing the investment that my parents had made, wanting to make sure that I have a quote unquote, stable career that would be beneficial for me in the long run, they also encouraged me to not just, gamble with my career. And so I definitely felt, okay, I needed to make a decision that would provide the stability, right? And so business seemed like something that was really interesting to me, and something that I would want to pursue. So what exactly would that look like? I think because I also liked math at the time, I figured, okay, maybe I can start in accounting, get a good understanding of, the foundation of a business and go from there. So that's really where that started. And so by the time it was, senior year, getting to make that decision to decide on college, it came down to those two things, art school or studying business. Those would have taken me to completely different directions. And it's in looking at different universities, and that's where I visited Wharton, got to campus. I absolutely loved it. And one of the things that was really important to me is if I knew I wanted to focus on business, I did not want to lose the art piece. So I wanted to have that continued education. I wanted to continue to grow in that space. And so it was very important to me that I found an institution that promoted interdisciplinary education and thinking, and that I found at Penn. So I was very excited about that. And that's really where it started. Once I actually got into my career, I started in accounting, started in public accounting. But fast forward a couple of years, that's when I realized, okay, this is very numbers driven. You're looking at what companies are doing at the end of the year as opposed to at the beginning of their process. And so that's when I really felt the urge to make that shift back to something a little more creative. And that's where I was introduced to consulting and made a transition into consulting. And of course, my very first project and client in consulting was with a technology team. And I, coming in, did not know. I didn't know consulting. I didn't know technology, but I learned. So I had some really great leaders and team members who exposed me to different things. That's where I started learning about project management. That's where I started learning about the client's products. And that's really where it started. So it wasn't so much that, I had this idea in my head that I wanted to land in technology. It more so happened that, that's kind of how the path unfolded. And I will say, fast forward to now and knowing where I am, and technology has actually been the foundational thing that has tied together a lot of my different interests, right? From a business perspective, from an art and creating perspective, from my early interest in innovation, even before I fully understood what the how you would define that. And so yes, it's actually worked out in that way, but sometimes, and hopefully for the audience, it's important to know that you don't always know where that path is going to lead you, but certainly looking back, you can see how those dots connect.
Yeah, and so one of my favorite quotes is from a John Lennon song, which is, life is what happens while you're busy making other plans.
Exactly, right.
You know, you think you want to do this, but then something beautifully, I think, comes across and takes you slightly off of where you might have been. And it's interesting, one of the things you talk about in terms of arts and business and kind of creativity, the through line for me has always been, and I look at this in terms of how people, I encourage people to approach AI in particular,
yeah,
is curiosity. And I think being open and curious about what might this be over here? And, you know, and that's where you really learn and grow. And I think life gets more interesting and dynamic.
Yeah.
When you're open to like, no, I'm not just going, you know, head down straight. And, you know, you have lots of different pulls. You know, I had the kind of professional pull to be like, oh, I have to be a lawyer. And I went to law school and then was like, this is not for me. So, but I think it's important for people to explore, especially, you know, young. I like that you said, you know, when you're a sophomore, you started at what, 15, 16, thinking about seriously what you wanted to do. I'm hoping that my son, who's 16, will start to veer in that direction. Well, he has a dream. We'll see.
It'll happen.
No, we have a path. So again,
yeah,
it happens. It's a, so you are the director of artificial intelligence and innovation at one of the leading, you know, consulting firms in the country, KPMG. What do you find most challenging about that role?
Yeah. So you know, I think the challenge with AI, I think the challenge with technology, it's not the technology itself. And that's something that I've discovered through my career in building products and working with different teams and working with engineers and deploying different products, digital products to market. It's never about the technology. I think that piece of it, you understand, you know what you need to do. There are smart people in the room who can handle that. I think some of the challenge though is the people side of it, right? So how do you get people to adopt it? How do you get people to understand it? How do you get people to step away from their just natural tendencies that we have as humans? Call that fear, uncertainty. You know, we like stability, we like certainty, we pull back when it comes to change. We want to know what that means for us. So I think that's really where the challenge is. You know, with AI, it's the adoption, making sure that everyone is aware of it. Certainly the people who are already in the space, you're exposed to it, you understand it, but there are a lot of people who are still learning about it. They still don't understand what it means for them. They still aren't able to translate actually what that will mean in their own lives. And I think that piece is really important. It's easy to get caught up when you're in the space and everyone is super excited about it and you're all, you know, talking that same language, but how do you make sure that everyone is coming along on this journey? Especially when we're looking at this type of technology that is going to be so transformational across all different areas of life, right? So it's not just a technology thing. It impacts law. It impacts wellness, it impacts, you know, ethics, it impacts so many different things. So that's why, you know, when I think of AI or have the conversation with AI, I always want to make sure that it's in a way that it's approachable and people feel like they can find their space in it, because they can. There are a lot of different ways for people to participate in this. And I think it's really important for us to think about it that way.
So I come across, so I do a lot of AI education in my world. And I'm curious about that piece of people who are either shy, I'll call AI shy, to fearful and things. What have you found to be the most successful way to kind of get them over the hump of being afraid or being uncertain to get realizing what a powerful tool this can be?
Right. Yeah, I think one is the general awareness and literacy around it. But I think the other piece too that always hits home for people is, what does that mean in my world? How is it going to change? How is it going to transform how I do things? So I think we need to have people actually see that, but actually use it in the context of the life that they walk every day. So what are the activities that they're doing? Is it grocery shopping? Is it planning an event, planning a wedding? How can you incorporate it in the things that you need to do, right? Not just sell them on these other concepts out there that other people are doing, but that doesn't resonate with their in their life as, let's say, a librarian or any other title that someone would have or any other thing that they would do. I think it's being able to bring it into that context. When that happens, then they actually have the experience to say, okay, I see what this can do for me today or tomorrow versus what I've been doing in my own life. And so they can actually see in a tangible way what that impact is, what that change can look like. And they can be part of that conversation to say, okay, I like this about it, or I don't like this, or here's something that I've been able to do before, and now I can't do it. And then they can actually be part of the tinkering themselves, right? What do I need to tweak? How can I need to shape it? How do I need to prompt differently? How do I need to go back and guide it in a different way so I get different outcomes? Now they're actually part of the process. And they can also see, I think another thing that's important to call out too is as much as we talk about AI and we talk about all the great things about it, there are still some challenges and things that we need to figure out still, right? So making sure that privacy, security, bias, all those things are addressed. But I think when people are in the driver's seat, they can also be part of that as they're using it day to day.
Definitely. And I think that's, responsible AI. We talk a lot, I like, human-centered AI is a term that I like a
Right.
lot. There's been a distinction about whether it's, if your organization could be AI first versus AI forward. And
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
forward, because I think it's, AI first means before the human, kind of, but
Right, yes.
so I'm a fan of that term. So it's interesting. I'm curious now, what do you find the most rewarding about your job? Because obviously you talked about some of those challenges, but I think you hinted at some of the things that you probably find rewarding when people.
Yeah, so I would say, again, keeping in context that I would not have imagined this role or title or where I'm in today. What I've really enjoyed about it is the fact that I feel like I'm in a place in my career now where I can bring my full self to the work that I'm doing. And that means my business background, it means my technology knowledge, it means my interest in art and innovation as someone who loves different ideas and to be curious and to explore, but also bring those things to life. I'm also as someone who has just so many different interests. I love that AI and where we are today with business also gives me the flexibility to lean on some of these different disciplines that I've built on over the years. And as needed, I can reach into my toolbox and pick out, what I need at any given moment and put that together. I think that's very important for the time. What we have to solve for tomorrow is different from what we were solving for yesterday. And so we need to be agile in the way that we do that. We need to be thinking outside of the box. We need to be leaning on different disciplines to solve those challenges that we have today that are do not the solution do not sit in one area. And so it's important to know who do we need to pull and bring to the table? Who else do we need to hear from? What is working somewhere else in a different industry, a different function that we can then bring into our current focus and lean on that. And so I love that, just having done different things, having seen different things, worked on transformation projects, worked on, building products and delivering those to clients, having an understanding of business, having an understanding of accounting, because at the end of the day, technology projects need to be funded. They need to have a business case around it. You need to be able to deliver and show the value. And so being able to pull all those things together is really meaningful to me. And I love the fact that I can be part of the designing and making it real. And it's not just, plug and play anymore.
I love the fact that you're talking about, bring your whole self to work and that you have varied interests, because I'm someone who also feels like people want to put me in a box. I'm like, that's not going to work.
Right. Yeah.
I have all these different interests. And I like the fact that it seems you're very keen to help others who might have that same interest. And so you've talked about mentoring and coaching to kind of democratize knowledge.
Yeah.
As well as promote inclusion. What, why has that become so important?
Yeah. I think it's really important. I mean, even if I think about my own story, right, coming from an island with a population of what, 100,000, 110,000 people, very small. Right. And fast forward to now, the things that I've been able to see and been blessed to do, and the people who have poured into me, I've had amazing mentors and sponsors throughout my career. And that has shaped my life, shaped what I've been able to do, what I've been able to see. And I think it's really important that everyone has access to flourish. We all have our own talent. Sometimes it takes a little while to discover it. Sometimes it takes, a crooked journey to get there and see how that unfolds. But we don't get to do that unless we have the doors opened or the person looking over or the person who can guide us and share some of that information. And if someone doesn't have that today, that can limit, how far they can get to or how they can grow and develop as a person. And so I think it's important for us as we're all growing in our career. It could be very easy for me to, come and focus ahead and think of the next thing. But what about everybody else? How can I share some of the things that I've learned in the same way others have poured into me to help people put their own pieces together, build their own toolbox and figure out how they can chart their own journey. And so, it initially it ha happened, I would say, probably organically, people reaching out, but also me just taking an interest in people. As a people leader, I've leaned in a lot. And I've had a lot of informal mentees as well, and I really, it's something that I've realized that I really enjoy doing. I love seeing people learn. That has ultimately led me to being an educator, even when that also was not on my radar. But I had been doing it essentially, right? So I've been taking the time, teaching people, creating content around different concepts that people can learn, and setting up time to teach them. And this is something I did on my own time. This is something I did at work. And so that's essentially how it translated. And I, there are just a lot of people out there who need that information. And I think about my own cousins back home in the Caribbean, how can I get this information out to them? And so that's one of the reasons that led me to sharing content on LinkedIn. There's so many people who don't know where to go to find it. And if I can have it out there, it can be helpful to someone. It can guide them. I mean, if it's one person, I'm super happy. If it's more than that, that's really just icing on the cake.
I align very much with all of that in terms of, and that's partly why I teach. And but I think there's also something about teaching where you grow yourself. Like as you, I think you mentioned earlier, you learn from your students and you learn from people who have different experiences. And so it's kind of that win-win because you're helping them, get the access and learn, but at the same time you're picking up things from everyone. And I always say, you can learn from anyone, if you're open to it. And I think there's a responsibility for those that have been had the support and been kind of blessed with the mentors that we've had to then kind of pay it forward in a way. And I think it's really part. Well, so I'm gonna let's assume that you're now that person you're mentoring is your 21-year-old self. So what advice would you give to your 21-year-old self?
Wow. So to my 21-year-old self, I would say, I think first and foremost is own who you are, right? Because I think I definitely felt the pressure early on in life and my career to kind of follow the path that everyone is following, right? There are certain steps, okay. You go this path, you do the next thing, and you follow along and like everybody else. But I always had that pull in me that told me that I wanted to do things a little bit differently. And there are many times that it was very hard to do that. Like, for example, coming from Wharton, a lot of people go to Wall Street. I knew deep down in my heart that was not something that I wanted to do. I still wanted to be true to the artist that I am and have a little control of that. And so, in many different arenas in of my life and stages of my life, there are people I would say zigging, and I felt like I needed to zag. And when I look back of how things have unfolded, I think a lot of it was because I was true to myself. And it's incredibly hard. It's really, really difficult. I think the pressures of friends and family and society, right, to continue to look inward and be honest and true and authentic to yourself every single day when those pressures exist. It's really hard. And even when you're navigating a career, it could be very easy to just follow the script and do what everyone else is doing. But if I look at what I've done in a lot of different ways, I've stepped away from, following that exact path. Like I've done different things. I have made the career change. I've taken a sabbatical. I have taken a quote unquote risk to try a different role in the organization. I've done that multiple times now. And it's really those opportunities that have allowed me to not just really build on the foundation that I've built, but really use my key strengths as someone who's curious, is a problem solver, who can find and connect the dots, who can collaborate with different people, who can execute from an idea to making something real. I've been able to lean on my strengths in those areas to provide value and get things done. And I think it's really important for young people coming in to understand that they have that ownership and that's something that they can be in control of to craft. The other thing I would share as well is, given where we are in the AI world, whether you're a technology leaning person or not, I think it's still important to understand it and figure out what it means to you, right? And whatever it is that you're interested in, figuring out what that role is that you can play. Because like I said, AI is interdisciplinary, so there are lots of different angles where you can come in and play that role. So I think that's, certainly another important thing for people who are early in their career to focus on.
Yeah, I often say just go play. Like,
Exactly.
no pressure, just go and start, ask it silly questions, and
Right.
just have fun in the beginning to get used to how it works and how you talk to it
Yeah.
and have fun with it. Like, but start. That's the other thing is start.
Exactly. Exactly. It's one of those things where the experiential learning is really important, right? It's one thing to understand concepts, but it's bringing it to life, making it actionable is where I think a lot of that learning that will stick with you comes in.
I want to step back because so you talked about your early interest in art and how it's kind of sustained itself. Thankfully, you're really keen on not losing that, and I think that's one of the things that's a big lesson is if you have an interest that you may not pursue professionally. My father's been playing jazz drums for 50 years, not his career, but he's
Yeah.
enjoyed it for years and years.
Right.
So you still sketch and you still paint. I'm curious about kind of how your artist mindset influences how you approach technology development.
Yeah, it is ever present every day because, technology is about you're building things for people ultimately. You are adding value in people's lives. You are coming into homes. You're crossing borders with these technologies. They go, all these products go, they travel, right? And so it's important to think of going from that concept and who is it going to go to? Why is it important to that person? As an artist, when you think of a piece and what inspires you, sometimes it could be an idea that just comes up in your head. But the way we work as humans, nothing is ever 100% original, right? It's all influenced by things we've experienced or seen, even when it's subconscious and we don't realize it. And similarly for technology, when you're coming up with an idea. So an art piece can be something that's influenced by others. And now you're making it your own, but you're also thinking about what it means to you as the artist, but you're also thinking about how it will resonate with the person who's viewing it, right? So you have to think about how, what is it going to mean for them? How is it going to impact their life? What is the story around it? How will people interpret it? Similarly, with technology, you also have to think of the same. When you're building, it's not about you. Of course, your experience, especially if you're what you're building for and about is something that you've experienced, that's important. But at the end of the day, to grow it, to grow the product, to grow the business, you need to be thinking about more and more people, right? And more people beyond your initial audience. So thinking about your customers and your users, that's really important. So that's very similar to art there. You have to think about, how are they going to, the details of how they're going to use it, right? This feature. How, if you're building something on a website, how are they actually going to navigate? Where are they looking? Thinking about the design and shapes and the colors, those are artistic things when you think about the art and the design of something that you're building. And so there are definitely a lot of parallels there. But ultimately, people are making the product their own. They're bringing it into their own lives. They're integrating it into their lives. How can it enhance them? And the same thing with art. You bring it into your home. It is influencing your space. You want to feel a certain way. A lot of times people buy products, not just for the utility of it, but also how it makes them feel, how it makes them look. It can be a status play. There are lots of different things, and lots of different reasons. So I think the human psychology ends up being important, both from an artistic perspective, but also in technology. And that's really crucial when it comes to building. I think it, just understanding human psychology can really give you a leg up. And that's something to not forget. We can't just think about the specifics of the technology that we're building itself and not just think about the human side of it.
Yeah, it's funny because in content marketing, which is another area that I spend my time in, I
Yeah.
created the idea of the 11th command, which is know thy audience. And so that's It's great to want to create something, but if it's not going to work for the purpose, and if you're not taking the into account what people care about,
Right.
kind of miss the point.
Exactly.
And I think that that is true. If an artist decides to create something that's only for them, well, that's great, but that kind of misses the point of the beauty of art. Is to share it
Right.
with people and to for them to appreciate it. And thankfully, because I'm not very artistic, but I love to appreciate art, so I'm glad there's things out there that I really like.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Let me ask. So you are working in one of the best consulting firms in one of the hottest, areas that can be. By most arguments, you are successful. But I like to say, how does Daesung define success?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. I think that's an important one for all of us to reflect on, really, because I think our go-to in society, I think this is one of the things that one of the words that's been defined for us. You know, success means a certain title. It means your house, the size of your house, what are you driving? It's a lot of material things. But I think success, you know, ultimately is really personal. That is something that we each should be defining for ourselves. And it comes down to how are you feeling every day when you wake up in the morning? And how are you feeling when you go to bed at night? You know, are you energized about what it is that you're doing? Are you doing meaningful work? Do you feel like you're adding value? Do you feel like you're being honest and true to yourself? Like, those are things that are really important to me. And these are some of the measures that I look at when I consider things that I'm doing. If it's going to take me away from my values, if it's going to take me away from my integrity, I am not willing to compromise on those things. And we all have to draw a line in the sand with what that boundary looks like for us. I can't tell you, you can't tell me. It's very personal. But I think it's having people understand that they have the ability to define that, because so many times I think in society, with the pressures, we wait for permission. We wait for someone else to tell us. We go by the definition that's been presented to us, and we don't feel like we can have the ability and the power and the agency to define these things. And so whatever, like, success in a nutshell can mean whatever you want it to mean for yourself. For me, it's being true to myself. It's being honest. It's being having high integrity, being able to honor my value system, like, you know, being able to spend time and mentor people, things of that sort that really mean a lot to me. And also, do I have what I need? Do I have time? Can I spend it with loved ones and family and friends? Do I have time to pursue the things that bring that intrinsic satisfaction and need? That's also really important. So I think of it holistically across your life, not just in a professional or work
Definitely.
aspect, because that is part of your life, but it's not the whole thing. And so I think it's really important that people look at it as something more broad than that, right? And again, define it in a way that makes sense to them.
I love that answer, and I think it's if you don't know how to define success, just take Daesung's answer and apply it to your life. You'll be good. You'll be good. AI is moving super fast. And so people are always kind of trying, feeling like they're behind, where a lot of people haven't even started. And so I think that's
Right.
not true, but you should start. And some people are like, oh, it's just a trend, which I disagree with completely. It's transformational and not something that's a fly in the seat of your pants kind of thing that's going to go away. It's going to completely change everything.
Yeah.
But in terms of kind of the next iteration or the next thing that people should be paying attention. From your perspective, what do you think is the next shift or shiny object even of AI that's coming?
I think I think we've spent a lot of time the past few years focused on what it can do and getting it out there and getting in front of people, getting the usage up. Now, I definitely think there's still some challenges there, right? So there's still adoption, like some people are still getting a hang of it. I think another thing that's really important is to look broadly as to what it's going to mean when it's integrated in the things that we do, right? What is work going to look like for people? Right? How is that going to transform different roles? How are people now going to spend their day? We've looked to AI and we've said that it's something where we can drive innovation. What exactly, XYD task in your day to day, but now you have time freed up to do something else. I think for organizations, you know, organizations will certainly have to decide what they want that to look like for people, but I think people also have a role to play in that. You know, how do you want to spend that time? What can innovation look like? And so I do see more and more innovation happening across the board with people who probably may not have thought of themselves as innovators in the past and who may not have had the quote unquote formal training around innovation. But now with this technology, you can be a content creator, you can be a worker using it, you can be someone using it in your personal life. Like it allows people to take advantage to expedite what they're doing and how they're doing it across so many different realms and areas. And so, I think that that piece is really important to get clarity on because we're moving. But I think if we can step a little further ahead and plan for what's going to happen, that would set us up even better and even more. So as the transformation is happening, what exactly is that going to look like? I think having that clarity there will help people, including the ones who are still looking to, find their way in the journey. That will help them crystallize, the specifics and some of those things that can help alleviate some of the anxiety and fear that people have.
Yeah, I agree. It's about being able to look just a little bit further in the impact, not just the technology,
Yes,
but the
the
impact
impact.
it's going to have.
And specifically, I would say the harder things to answer, right? There are some things around it that are easier. How do you do it? How do you prompt? But what are the harder things we have not solved for yet? Because I think we certainly need to try to get it ahead and get in front of those.
And we're gonna have to make some choices. That's the other thing.
Exactly.
We're gonna have to make hard choices.
Yes.
And
Yes.
it's going to be up, the hope is that we get it right. And I think I'm an optimist, so I think enough good people are working on it that we've got our best team on it, so hopefully lots
Absolutely.
of people doing it. Okay, now it's time for what should be rapid fire, but so I'm going to ask kind of quick questions. First thing that comes to your head, if you are struggling, you can skip it or take a moment and think about it. Your choice.
Okay.
So if a movie was made about your life, who would you want to play you?
Oh my goodness, that is so hard. Who would play me? Maybe Gabrielle Union, and that's just someone that comes to mind, maybe Gabrielle Union.
She's awesome.
I
Speaking of movies, can you name one of your favorite movies?
think what comes to mind, I'm a huge fan of Van Gogh. I visited the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam, absolutely loved it. I think the movie on his life, I mean, I've read the book too, but the movie was something that really resonated with me. I love the cinematography around it.
An art movie. What a surprise there. Can you name a book that left a lasting impression on you?
Oh boy.
One of them. I know there are
One that
probably.
I read recently, one that I read recently is Obstacle is the Way. And it was, I mean, I think it's, and a friend recommended it to me, and I think it's worthwhile that everyone read that. And basically, even when you're having challenges, you're having hard times, being able to see your way out of it and look at the positive side and how you can shape that experience to turn it into something else. I think it was a great read, and I think a lot of us would benefit from that because we all have hard days.
This is a challenging one for someone in the space, but can you name one of your favorite AI tools?
Oh my gosh. Oh, one of my favorite AI tools.
Or the one you use every day that
Oh, that's so hard. I would say a recent favorite of mine is Perplexity. And I like Perplexity because I, as much as I like to use the technology, I like to have the sources at hand, and it presents that in there. So I'd like being able to refer back and, do my own due diligence in the process before I assume that everything that comes out of it is correct.
Trust but verify.
Yes,
In terms of
exactly.
Perplexity, I like that someone, for those that don't know, Perplexity is kind of like an alternative to Google, although it has has other aspects of it. But people are saying that Google's a search engine and Perplexity is an answer engine, which I always thought was really cool because rather than giving you links, you ask a question, it tells you the answer and then gives you the sources. And so I
Right,
was like, so you get, if you're in a rush, yeah, I should check that, but at least I have something to go from.
right.
Do you have a favorite emoji?
Favorite emoji. Oh my goodness, I do like the two hands up, like the it's more of like cheering things on, excitement. I think that's one I use a lot.
Nice. How about a favorite non-digital activity?
Non-digital activity. I can list these out. Of course, we talked about art. I love running. I did some kayaking over the weekend. Anything in
Nice.
nature. I love that. Hiking, traveling. So there's a lot on the list. But yeah, these are things that could definitely get me away from the computer.
What's one thing you can't live without?
One thing that I can't live without. I love my digital camera. And this was something I got into photography when I didn't have as much time for art, and it was just quicker. You can frame it, I could see what I want to see and take the picture. So I do love that. Yeah, I'd stick with that one. Definitely my
Love
camera.
it. I love photography, so that's a great one. If you could be credited with inventing something that either exists or doesn't exist, what would it be and why?
Wow. So I think a big life goal. So we've talked, I mean, multidisciplinary has always been something interesting to me. I think I'm in the interdisciplinary space now. I would love to get into the transdisciplinary space where you're creating something completely new from these other topics and things that you've covered in disciplines. I would like to get there. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like yet, but that would be, if I achieve that in my life, that would be a huge, that would be something amazing.
It would be amazing and a gift to everyone. The gift we've had is your time here, so thank you so much. I want to give you a chance. Is there anything specific you want to promote yourself or want to share that's, you want people to know about?
I would definitely say, I mean, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed this conversation. I hope it inspires the audience, one, to just lean into yourself, trust the things that resonate with you. If you look back at your early days in childhood, the way you spent your time, and ask yourself the question, if I were to spend time today with no expectation, no obligation, what would that be? And follow that through. As you're mapping out your career, I think things with AI are going to look different in the future. And I think it's going to be on us to decide what we want that time to look like for ourselves. So I think it's really important, now that people are leaning into that, looking at your own personal strengths, your own differentiators, and being able to share that with people. And it's a blessing, when we're able to tap into the things that we're just naturally good at, comes to us more seamlessly, and we're able to share that with the world.
That's beautiful. If people want to learn more about you or connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, LinkedIn is definitely a great way. I'm active there, sharing content, love connecting with people. And yeah, that's definitely the easiest one.
Love it. This has been great. I've loved hearing your story. I love your approach. And I want to thank you for being so forthcoming and genuine. And it's been really great. And I want to thank you for helping us connect the dots.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey. It's been wonderful.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast sponsored by AIQ. Subscribe at AIQNewsletter.com. Music produced by Sam Miller. Please subscribe on your preferred podcast platform so you don't miss any future episodes. If you could do me a favor and please leave a review on iTunes, I would really appreciate it. Remember, story matters and is the best way to connect the dots.